This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Michael Yon, at Michael Yon at Twitter. It's now known as X. It's quite annoying to have to say something that used to be just Twitter, and now you have to say X, formerly known as Twitter. It's like player to be named later in a baseball trade. Michael, Colony Ridge, in the news, your identification of Colony Ridge is something funny going on having to do with migrants and the state of Texas. And we now have this headline from the Texas Tribune within 48 hours. After much ado about Colony Ridge, the Texas legislature has little to show for it. There is this opening paragraph. Governor Greg Abbott is now involved in the Colony Ridge story. He was not before Michael's work. Governor Greg Abbott named Colony Ridge a top state priority when he placed it on the third special legislative session agenda, heeding calls by right-wing media to crack down on the fast-growing Liberty County subdivision that had become a haven for organized crime and illegal immigrants from Latin America. That certainly sounds, Michael, Liberty County would worry about it. So the story looks to be advancing, however slowly. Are you satisfied that the story is now in the news and can't be kept out?
Well, you know, Todd Bensman, the excellent author and friend of mine, you know, he's the one that first alerted me to Colony Ridge and took me out there. So we came back and it was so big that I said, let's go to the airport. And we came back with an airplane, and it was still, then we came back with a helicopter, because it just couldn't take it all in. And so we've taken multiple trips with helicopters now. It took a couple of congressmen and different people, different journalists like Ann Vandersteel and Daily Wire. I want to say something. I know Governor Abbott's people, so-called Governor Abbott, his people watch my work very closely because I know people close to him. And I know they watch everything that I post on Twitter and whatnot. I want to just let you know, when I publish this interview that we're doing on my Twitter or my X, that there's a lot more coming. The news has only yet begun. You'll see what I'm saying. It's not a vacant statement. You're about to get a lot more press than you've gotten so far. It's on the way. And so the bottom line is, you either do something or you'll never live it down. You're already not going to live it down, but it's going to get a lot more intense. We're finding out a lot more things, and a lot more things are going to come out.
The last time we talked about Colony Ridge, there was the question of financing. The credit of the people who were applying for a lot to put a trailer on, a double wide, had one number, tens of thousands. I don't remember. It's like 91,000, something down. There was creative financing. Do I remember correctly, Michael?
Yeah, it's more than creative financing. I mean, it's one of those schemes where the people that can't buy land because of their legal status, and their illegal status in the United States, they're in a jam. And so basically he gets them in the same sort of jam that the Chinese Communist Party puts entire nations into, puts them into jams where they can't pay for their loans. And so they just take the land, right? They take it back and churn it. So they just recycle the land. That's what's happening. And it's all in the news at this point, of course. Daily Wire's been publishing it and others. So, you know, so it's quite interesting how this is all unraveling right in front of Trey Harris. Trey Harris is the main developer, by the way. He's from Cut and Shoot, Texas, Trey Harris is. And as you can see, this is all unraveling. They've hired one of those crisis information management companies, which seems to be making things a bigger crisis. They seem less competent than anybody. Interestingly, the crisis company that those developers hired seems to be making things worse. I mean, it's pretty incredible. They have not even hired somebody that can even go quiet. They just, every time they go public, it makes it worse.
All right, last detail. In 21, there were no Chinese to talk about. In 22, I don't remember any Chinese, Michael. I honestly don't. I could go back and listen to us, but I don't remember. We were talking about the Cubans and the Haitians, always. Very healthy Cubans in 22. Big shoulders, young people, very attractive. Puzzling. Why were they here? Where are they going? And then in 23, Chinese nationals started to show up, and then they started to show up in big numbers. And then the numbers got bigger and bigger, and there's now a Chinese camp, so-called, at the Darien Gap. The Chinese, when they come to America, you tell me that they have a chip on their shoulders. Is that how to hear it?
Oh, yeah. The Chinese that are coming into the United States, they're very dismissive towards Border Patrol, often very rude. They're rude to Americans that they meet on a regular basis. I see it. Some are rude to me, actually. And they act the same way towards Americans that I've seen them act towards Tibetans when I've spent time in Tibet, right? The same way they speak to Cantonese speaking Hong Kongers. I've spent a lot of time in Hong Kong. The way that they treat the Hong Kongers is very dismissive, very rudely. They talk down to them when they speak Cantonese. You know, the Hong Kongers, their main language there has been Cantonese, but the Chinese Communist Party, who fashion themselves as Han Chinese or Mandarin speakers, you know, they're trying to force the children to speak only Mandarin. They're trying, you know, they teach the children to speak Cantonese is to reveal that you have a low education, that you're low morals and that sort of thing. And it's the same thing that they're doing all over the world. I see this everywhere. So, I mean, keep in mind, the Chinese Communist Party is crystal clear in what they say, that they have jurisdiction over anybody with Chinese genes, including people that have been gone for, you know, 150 years or 200 years, or the people who the Chinese who originally settled in Taiwan 450 years ago. They're saying they still fall under Chinese law, right? And the same in Panama. The Chinese who have been there, Cantonese speakers who have been there 150, 170 years, the Chinese Communist Party say they fall under Chinese law. The Chinese Communist Party is very clear that they say that, you know, that all these indigenous people all across North America, Mexico, Central America, all the way down to Tierra del Fuego, they say that they were all Chinese migrants who came over the straits and, you know, through Alaska and have settled this thing over time, and that we stole the contention of the Chinese Communist Party is that settlers from Europe came and stole this land from Chinese. In other words, they claim that Belize and everything else is theirs, and they will eventually take it back. And so that's what they're coming to do.
They appear, just quickly, they appear from the reporting you've done, well-financed. They're not desperate. They're not coming through in flip-flops. They have money in their pocket. They go to the same camp. And then where are they headed? They're headed to the border, but any particular place after the border. Are they in Colony Ridge?
Actually, Mandarin is taught in one of those schools in Colony Ridge, by the way, separately from all this, but interesting. Just a data point, throwing that out there. Now, a lot of the Chinese who come through, depending on where they're from, like I think the Fujianese will tend to come through and go to Flushing, New York. Others will go to Brooklyn. Depends on which. Keep in mind, as you well know, China is a complex place. It's not like everybody's quote-unquote Chinese. They speak a lot of different languages. Chinese is not actually a language, as you know. It's a group of languages. A lot of the people I see coming through actually are speaking Fujianese, right? Others are speaking Mandarin. Others, very, very, very few speak Cantonese, right? Most of the Cantonese speakers that you see in Central America or other parts of the world, their families have been there for a very long time, right? And so you've got different ecosystems of people coming in to the United States, and they're not all going to the same places.
Michael Yan, at Michael Yan, in Belize, because Belize, it's land of the free. That would attract Michael just reading a brochure about it. He would head to the Belize City. He's headed to, well, we'll follow him. He's coming from Panama City, where there's a drought, where there's contention about the stability of the country and Costa Rica and Honduras and Guatemala, because the numbers continue to grow of the migrants coming through the Darien Gap. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.